Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
So I don't know if you have in your life ever had someone you loved and watched them doing the wrong thing over and over again. If you've told them what they should do and you know it's best for them, and yet they continue to do something else. And sometimes, in fact, I've seen people even just throw up their hands and say, well, forget it then. In fact, I was once with a woman, this was before I had kids, I was in graduate school, and she was one of my supervisors. She had like 4 or 5 kids, boys. And we were out at the park, and they were throwing rocks at each other. And I sat horrified, right? And I said, aren't you going to tell them not to throw rocks? She's like, I have told them so many times not to throw rocks, and if they hurt themselves, whatever. Right? And now as a parent, I get that a little more, right, after seeing stuff. But she just said, I've tried to tell them. I think Jesus does this to us sometimes, tries over and over to tell us things, and yet we continue to push back and throw rocks and do things that aren't healthy for us. And today, Jesus talks about how we do that in relationships. Jesus lays out today what he sees as important in community, because community is so important for Jesus. He wants his followers to live as a community, and he knows that it will not be easy. And in this book of Matthew that's written, we also know that Matthew, the people that were following Jesus when he wrote this book, there were fights happening between them about who should be included. Should it just be Jewish people? Should it also be Gentile people? And they were fighting. And Jesus knew there had to be some guidelines around how people were going to treat one another if community was going to happen. And so he lays them out. He tells people exactly what to do. First, he makes it very clear to people that they shouldn't just ignore the things between them that are wrong. And we all know this, right? Because when we ignore things, they don't go away. We say time heals wounds, and it's true, we learn to live with things over time. But you all know, you've been in relationships where something went wrong, or there's been a break off of the relationship, and it doesn't go away. It flares up sometimes at weird times when you're not even expecting it. Things like that don't just go away. But we love to ignore things, don't we? I see this in health especially, right? Oh, if I just ignore it, maybe it will go away. And we know it doesn't in our body. I always use the example, maybe I've told this story before. If I have, I apologize. But you know what? I've been here long enough, now you're going to hear the same stories twice. It's my splinter in the armpit story. So when I was a kid, I was in dance, and I was at dance class, and I was like leaning on the bar, you know, they had wooden bars at the time, and I slid and I got a big, huge splinter in my armpit. And I was one of these scared of tweezer kids. Like, I was the kid who mother would come with something and I was gonna die. Maybe you have children or were that child like that. So I thought, better just not to say anything, right? So I walked around for weeks like this, right? Because I couldn't really move my armpit. And then, what happened? It got infected. Big surprise, right? Whereas if I had just taken care of it at the beginning, it would have hurt, but then it would have been done. We do that with physical things, right? But we also do it with relational and emotional things. Maybe if I just ignore it, it will go away. And yet we walk around wounded and hurt and infected. The other thing Jesus tells us is that your relationships are not just about you. When there is something happening between you and someone else, it affects other people. We are in a community. So when one person hurts, we all hurt. Nothing is just your business. But we like to think that too, right? Somehow our business is just our business, and so we'll keep it very private. I was recently talking with a woman who was sadly trying to get the keys away from her mother, whom she didn't think should be driving anymore, which again, maybe some of you have dealt with. It's really, really hard. And she said, her mom kept saying to her, "This is none of your business, right? It is none of your business." And she told me, she finally blew up and said, "Mom, it is my business, because if you have an accident on the highway, guess who they're calling? And if you kill someone, guess who they're calling? And if something happens to you, guess who they're calling? It is not just your business." And that's the same with our relationships. What we do affects all of the people around us. And finally, Jesus lays the big one on us, probably the hardest thing Jesus asks us to do in the Bible, to forgive each other. And not just to forgive each other once, but to forgive each other over and over and over again. But how hard is that? So, so hard. But Jesus knew that unless we were able to do that, we couldn't be in relationship. And we know that. Even in our best relationships, we are constantly having to forgive for a word misspoken or something undone. We are constantly having to forgive one another. But these are really hard things. So we choose, just like those little boys throwing rocks, to do maybe what comes easier or feels better. Rick Morley, who's an Episcopal priest, he's been a long time Episcopal priest, he wrote what we like to do in the church better than what Jesus told us. This is our Bible instead, and I appreciate this. "If another member of the church sins against you, just talk about them behind their back. If another member of the church sins against you, just call a bunch of people in the church to complain about them. You may even want to start a letter-writing campaign. If another member of the church sins against you, just send them a nasty email. Copy the clergy, and while you're at it, CC the bishop. If another member of the church sins against you, don't say anything. Just avoid them. Unfriend them on Facebook. And if you can't avoid them on Sundays, then just leave the church." He wrote this sarcastically and a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it makes me so sad. Because it's true. And if any of you have been around in the church or seen church politics enough, you know it happens. It happens in the church, but it doesn't just happen in the church. It happens in other organizations. It happens in family relationships. I know plenty of families who have unfriended each other on Facebook or refused to go to family gatherings if so-and-so is going to be there. We do this all the time. All the while, Jesus is saying, "No, come back into relationship." Jesus was always about restoring relationship. Jesus was not about kicking people out or excluding, but bringing people back together. And Jesus tells us what to do. Now, I do have to say something. Here's my caveat on these readings. Because while I think these readings tell us well what to do, to be honest, to speak, to forgive, I do think they have been misused and abused at times. These readings have been used, for instance, you know, just take one person and go to another. If something completely egregious happens, against the law happens, you need to go to the police, right? You need to go to serious people. People have used this to just wipe illegal behaviors under the rug because they just belong in this little church community. That's not okay. And on the other side, I've seen these used when people are just like disagree about something, right? Like, "Oh, I don't like his opinion, so let's get together and we'll go tell him that he's wrong about what color should go in the sanctuary," right? That's not what it's about either. It's about when people sin against you, when people hurt you. This is what we do. And God was not one of these, that show Survivor, is it still on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you like kick people off the island, right?
If
you
don't. I watched it like 4 days ago.
Yeah, you just watched it, so it's still
on,
right?
It's like season 38, it's crazy.
Season 38, right, nice. So, but that's not God. God isn't to kick you off the island. The story that just precedes this story is the story of the Good Shepherd. It's the one in which the shepherd leaves 99 sheep to go find the one that is lost. Jesus is all about bringing us back together, restoring relationships. And as people of God, that is also what we are called to be, here in the church and out in the world in other places. We are called to be people who restore relationship. But it is so hard. And this is where our trust in Jesus has to come in. Notice in this text, Jesus promises where two or three are gathered, Jesus is present. We often use that text when we talk about worship, right? Like, I didn't know how many people would show up this morning. I could say, oh, where two or three are gathered, God is present, we're going to worship. That's fine. That's not how it's used in the text, though. It's used to talk about a time when people come together to talk about hard things. When you do that and do it with an intention of love and forgiveness and restoration, God is there. We need to trust Jesus for that. We can't do it on our own. I don't know how many of you have ever read Corrie Ten Boom. She is a Dutch woman who survived the Holocaust. She is not Jewish, but she was hiding Jewish people in her home. And she ended up in a camp. And her sister actually died in that camp. And after the war, she went around doing speeches on forgiveness and all these things on forgiveness. She's an amazing person. But she said at one of the talks she was giving, she had been talking about forgiveness. And she said, it's very easy to talk about forgiveness. But then a man came forward, and she recognized him as one of the SS officers that had been in the camp she was in. And she said he didn't recognize her at all, but she knew who he was. And he said, I'm so glad to hear you speaking about forgiveness. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, and I have become Christian, and I have changed, and I would not be alive today without forgiveness. And he stuck out his hand to her. And she said, I didn't know what to do. She said, here I had been talking about forgiveness, and I didn't know if I could touch this SS officer's hand. And then she decided, all right, I can stick out my hand. I can physically do that, but I still don't know if I can forgive him. And so she just prayed. She said, I just started praying in my head, you know, Jesus, you have to do this because it's too hard and I can't do it. And she said, she stuck out his hand, she shook his hand, and she said it was one of the most holy moments of her life because God was there. And God brought forgiveness into her heart. Now, again, with forgiveness, it doesn't mean it goes away. Right, all these hurts we have felt, and you have to forgive over and over and over again. She said that someone explained it to her, and I love this analogy. It's like when you ring a bell, like if we had a big steeple with a bell, you ring the bell, right? And if you keep pulling the bell, you can ring it really loudly, right? And this is like holding on to the things you're not forgiving. So you can let go of the rope, but what happens to the bell? It keeps ringing, right? But eventually, it gets quieter and quieter and quieter, right? This is what forgiveness is. It isn't a one and done always. Sometimes it takes time and letting go of that rope. And maybe then you go back to it and you ring it again because you're ticked off about something, right? But then you let go. And maybe it gets quieter and quieter. But that is what we are called to do. Go the rope, put down the rocks, go to those who have wronged us. Maybe if you haven't chosen something to do for Lent, this would be a great thing to do. Find someone you need to have a conversation, write a letter, and not to blame someone, and not to, again, call someone names or call them out, but in the spirit of restoring a relationship. We can hold on to being right. We can hold on to being powerful. We can hold on to all of our anger, but God knows that is not how we make community. So instead, we step forward, praying to God that we might be people who can forgive and who can restore just like Jesus has done for us.